In 2 Kings chapter 5, we're introduced to a man called Naaman. Naaman was captain of a host of the king of Syria. And of course, they were enemies to the people of God and the people of the northern tribe of Israel in particular. And Naaman was a great man. He was an honorable man among the people there. And he had a problem, though. He was a leper. And being a leper, they went off to places as a captain of the guard. They went to raids and they would capture people and they brought them back to be servants at their houses and everything. He had a maiden who was a servant in his household who said, "I wish," she said to her, the wife of Naaman, she said, "I wish that my master, who's been good, honorable, kind to me, I wish that he knew the man of God in Israel." He's talking about Elisha, the prophet of God. And she said, "I wish he knew him, because he could be recovered from his leprosy." Well, when that was told to Naaman, Naaman made some decisions on the basis of what he heard. He was willing to get rid of the leprosy, because leprosy was a terrible, terrible, and still is today, a terrible type of illness. So along the way, he sends message to the king to get him an ambassador to go over there into Israel and to be okay. So the king of Syria sends a letter over there to the northern tribe, to Israel, and request of him that if he sends his good servant, who is a good man, to him to be recovered from his leprosy, would he be in good stead? Would he be okay when he goes over that way? It reads here in 2 Kings 5 and 5, "And the king of Syria said, 'Go to now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." Wonderful contribution would be made to this man as he arrived. And he thought that that was a better thing to do. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "When this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him out of leprosy." And of course, the king of Israel said, "Am I God?" Verse 7 of 2 Kings 5. "Am I God to kill or to make alive, that this man will sit to me and recover him from leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray thee," and he's simply making a quarrel with me and trying to pick a war. And so he wasn't about to be of help. He couldn't be of help anyway to him. When the message came along the way there, there was a message that came back to the king of Syria. And Naaman was a man who came forth in a chariot to meet the man of God. The little maiden said, "Listen, this would be a wonderful thing for you to meet this man of God and to be recovered from your leprosy." But he had some ideas in mind already. So when he went, his lesson is repeating Naaman's mistakes. He went to the wrong man to be recovered. He thought that the king of Israel would be the man who would be able to do that, when he mistakenly thought that it was the idea that he was fixed to battle a war with him. He was willing to pay for his cure. He took gold with him, 6,000 talents of gold, pieces of gold, and 10 talents of silver, which would be great value in that day, and 10 changes of raiment. He thought for himself that this was the thing that he ought to do. And And so as he went that way, he went that way with hope and understanding that he would be okay. It is said that Elisha, verse 10 of 2 Kings 5, Elisha sent a message unto him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. The prophet of God didn't even go out to see. He didn't come out there to his chariot and stop there. And as he said later on, I thought he'd come out and he'd put his hand on the spot and he would say some hocus pocus things and I'd be recovered from my leprosy. But Naaman was wrought when he saw the servant come out and tell him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. Knowing that the Jordan River was a river that on the banks was a lot of dirt, and it would catch a lot of that dirt and be muddy, and referred to as Muddy Jordan as it came on down toward the Dead Sea. And so he says, are not the Abana and the Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He was mad and he was upset, and he was not about to do what this man by his servant told him to do. And along the way, he got back home, and his servants came near. The little girl had obviously talked to various other ones who were servants in the household, and they all had a kind of a hope that he would be okay. They liked the man very much. They enjoyed him. And he was a man who was honorable, it says in verse 2. Honorable, or verse 1. Mighty a man in valor. And he was honored greatly in the country. And they wanted to see him live on. Not suffer that horrible kind of death. And so, when the servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, they referred to him in a very humble way. If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. He was clean. That's verse 14. And he returned to the man of God and to his company and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. Naaman said, shall not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servants 2 mules of great burden of the earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. And in this thing the Lord pardoned thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Ramoth to worship there, he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. It is the case that they were helpful to one another. And in the process of being helpful to one another, this man who was cleansed now recognized the God of heaven. And he said, when I assist him in his worship that he does, not knowing this God of heaven, by way of what he would see by me in my life, maybe he was hoping, Naaman was hoping that in time he would see that, hey, this flesh is clean. This is the God who healed me. It wasn't the Ramoth God who did that? It was the God of this man of God, of Elisha. It was his God that healed me and helped me. And maybe it would turn the whole tide of history. And we hoped it would, but of course it did not. As we see here in this regard, in verse 27 it says, "The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. This was the servant, Gehazi, who found himself following after the servant of God and telling him, "I'll take what you offered to him," and he turned down. "I can take this." And he liked that idea. Something free from God was now being charged to him. And he had the leprosy of Naaman handed over to him. And his skin was as white, it says, as snow. We've had the snow come a few weeks ago, and we know how white it's been here. And Doug was asking this afternoon, "What about the snowstorm when we came here?" I said, "Well, we couldn't even get out of the parking lot. And we couldn't get out of the carport because the snow was 10 to 12 inches of drift down in here. And it would back up against our tires and we couldn't go any further. I tried, but it wouldn't go any further." And so we know how white that was, and how that leprosy would affect Naaman. But because he had these three notes to him, he would go to the wrong man thinking that that was the right thing for him to do. He was willing to pay for that cure, taking gold and silver and raiment. He was thinking for himself that he could go to the rivers of Damascus and be cleansed. If it was in the cleansing of dipping in the river, he could go to a clean river and dip in it and be okay. But then, when he got the message that he still was leprous, and that if there were in a request of him, that he asked two times as much or three times as much as he brought him for his cleansing, he would pay it. And he admitted to those servants, "Yeah, I would have." He had to have done that. "I would have given him any price to recuperate from the white skin to snow white to the cleansing that would take place." And so along with that, he was willing to go. And when he went, I want you to notice, it doesn't say that when he dipped one time or two or five times or six times, but when he did what the prophet of God told him to do, and he would be cleansed seven times. Then's when his flesh was made like a child. What a beautiful and wonderful story it is, and a wonderful account. What would we do if we repeat the mistakes of Naaman? Well, on the right side of this chart, and we'll go to that momentarily here, we can see that on the right side, what happens is we sometimes go to the wrong man too. We go to a preacher who does not use the Bible to teach. He uses his theology. Sometimes he doesn't go to the priest. He goes to the wrong man, because the priest is ordered by the Pope as to what he's to teach and what he's to live by. Some people will go to the person in the Bible, the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross was there as Jesus was here upon this earth, and Jesus blessed him with forgiveness because of the statement that he made. Christ Jesus is said to be the Savior. In John 14 at verse 6, "I am He says, the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus was the Savior, and he is the Savior. His words are said to be the very words of life. In John 12:48, if you reject me and receive not my word, you have one that judgeth you. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. So it is the case that we can go to the wrong person. Christ is the Savior, and his words are the words of life. Sometimes we're willing to pay whatever is there asked for us by that person. Sinful, but contribute to the ways of life. In Acts 8:18-20, there's the man in his situation, and he thinks about it on the way of his decision. But as we find, when we think for ourselves, and instead of faith that's obedient, we have faith alone. And there's no obedience to that faith. Then what we have here is a sad situation when we make the same mistakes that Nehemiah made in life. Let's think about that in the way that we do. And to those who are listening by way of the internet system and hear this particular message tonight, we're asking of you to do nothing more than what the Bible itself asks of us all to do for salvation from sin through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we noted this morning in this study of Philippians 3 and verse 9, it is in Christ that we have this wonderful righteousness of God that is given to us as we come into Christ. Romans 6, we're baptized into Christ and raised to walk in a newness of life. And as we're raised to walk in that newness of life, we're raised to walk in a way of righteousness, which the Lord wants us to follow. And as we follow that way of right doing, we can say to anybody and everybody, it's not my own doing, it's not my own righteousness that saves me. It's the hope that I have in the soul. When our good friend John Hall was here at a gospel meeting back in 2009, 2012, somewhere in that neighborhood time, he had the story about a man who came up to him and said, are you a righteous man? And quoted to him that there is none righteous, no, not one. And John said to him, I am a righteous man. And he cited to him Philippians 3 and verse 9, which says that it's not by my own righteousness, but it's by the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so it is that I'm made righteous, not because I do it myself, but because I bow to the Lord Jesus Christ in his way. Think about that as you listen to this study tonight, and may God bless you to make a good decision that you will follow not Naaman's mistakes, but follow his way of doing what God says to do. Let's stand together as we sing this song of encouragement.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, with him, all the way. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through.
Saying you enjoy these particular studies on these charts. I told you to begin with, we do 7 or 8 weeks of them, and that's why I've done the two today, to finish up 8 weeks of time. And we look forward to what we got coming up in our studies about various people and circumstances. But if there's anything extra, and there's an extra one, I want to preach and I want to teach. When we got a lot of people here on Sunday mornings, that everybody can benefit from Hebrews 10 and verse 25 in the assembly of the saints. So I'll choose to do that one when I see that occur, rather than just to announce it at a certain time to be done. But God bless y'all in every way. Don't forget our men's meeting afterwards. Close this in song and in word of prayer.
Number 632. 632. Travis, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you. What a song of delight in the city so bright will be lifted with heaven's banner on. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all